Welcome to the Numerologist Podcast, where we bring you a very special guest every single week to help guide you on your spiritual journey, live with abundance, and inspire your soul.
Hi, Numerologist community. Thank you once again for joining me for another episode of the Numerologist Podcast. Now, a couple of episodes ago, we told you that Roy Kirkland may be on hand so he could provide some more information about numerology. And we are so lucky to have talked to Roy, and we're going to be doing a lot more podcasts together. So over the next few months, we'll be talking more about numerology, the basics and all that kind of thing, so you can get a really good grip on what numerology is and how you can use it in your daily life. So once again, please join me in welcoming Roy. Hey, Roy.
Hey, how's everybody?
We're doing really good, Roy. Thank you. Today, I want to talk about the life path numbers, because that's one of the numbers that most people, when they hear of numerology, that's the one number that they go and learn straight away. So firstly, can you tell me, what is the life path number?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Well, see, in numerology, we mostly concentrate on the numbers in a numerology chart that are called the significant sums. You know, in other words, we add numbers together in the numerological way to find a particular number. And of them, the number one number that we look for is the life path number. What it is, it's the sum of the month, day, and year of birth, okay? All three of these are significant on their own, but when you put them together, they become the life path number. And this is really important to know, because some people think, well, if I've got this life path number, then I know it all. That's not true. The life path number breaks itself up and realigns and does all sorts of things. But one thing that's important to know about the life path number is that it cannot be changed, okay? Now, when we calculate the life path number, we add up the month, day, and year of birth. And when we say add, it also means reducing them to a number between 1 and 9, okay, one of the single digit numbers. In the old days, those are the only numbers that numerologists used to work with, but nowadays we also work with what are called master numbers in this case, which are 11 and 22. I mention 11 and 22 specifically because 22 is the highest of the master numbers that we can get as a subtotal. So in other words, say somebody was born on such and such a date, and we start adding up their numbers, and we come down to an 11 or a 22, okay? If we come to an 11, we don't continue and add 1 plus 1 equals 2, okay? We count that as an 11. Same thing with 22. We don't count the 2 plus 2 equals 4. We just hold on to the 22 because these numbers have distinct characteristics of their own. There are some other numbers like 13, 14, 16, and 19 that will be significant, but they're significant as subtotals, and that's more of an advanced subject than understanding life path itself. See, this is a part of understanding the sub paths of the life path, or the subtotals of the life path that we use in not only determining things about the character, but determining things about different times of life. Okay. Now, so in other words, we keep adding the digits together. If we get, 45 is like the sum total of the numbers, then that becomes a 9. But if we get like 38 as the sum total of a number, it becomes an 11. And I should also mention before we move on that 22 is the highest number in this era in thousands and thousands of years that we can have a life path for. Okay. And that can be simply explained by math. When we add up the life path, we end up with a 4-digit number. And when we end up with this 4-digit number, there's no way that starting with 1 + 9 is 1 again, is 10, which is 1. And then we add something else to it and add something else to it. It's impossible to make a 22 out of that. Anything above 22, because the next master number is 33, you see. And but we can have 33 at other places in the chart, just not as a life path right now.
That's really interesting, because I was going to ask about the 33. It's one of those things that, you know, is another master number as well, but I hadn't really thought about the fact that you can't even calculate it for the birthdays that we've got of people living on the earth right now.
Yeah, well, not for the life path. In other words, we'd have to go way up into the 21st century here before one even became possible. Because I usually add down instead of across. You know, the reason I add down is because that way I can catch the birthday number, the achievement number, and so on and so forth, and don't have to go backwards and calculate over again. I do this simply because I do a lot of instant reading, so to speak. And when I'm doing that, I don't want to have to go back and say, okay, well, what was that? What's the birthday number actually? Because that can be anywhere between 1 and 31, and, you know, so on and so forth. But you can catch a 33 achievement number. You just can't catch a 33 life path number.
Got it. Okay. Well, we'll be talking about those different numbers in next podcast episodes, but let's stick with the life path number for now. I'm really curious to know, how does knowing your life path number help you out in your life?
Well, let's start with this. Okay. Let's start with the fact that the date of birth is fixed. Unless you have a time machine, you can't go back and change it. Okay. You can't just make a new one up. You can do this with name numbers, but you can't do that with the life path number. What this means is that the life path number is all about what you attract to yourself. It's as if you were driving along and you were driving behind some kind of really fast machine that was creating the road in front of you. Okay, and this was directed by your mind. In other words, you'd be making your own turns and twists and so on and so forth. But that road is fixed. Once it's laid down there, once you're born, that life path is fixed for the rest of the life. Now, you can't change the numbers. You might have a number that you're uncomfortable with for some reason or another, or you might find yourself in trouble here or there, and it could easily be traced back to something that's part of the life path. You can't change that, but what you can change is the way the number works in your life. Okay. In other words, most people are just following on with default behaviors that are connected with it. But some people gain the insight or the knowledge or whatever they need to elevate that number and make it bring out its own higher characteristics. You see? Now, not only that, but not only can it be a vehicle for self-improvement or personal growth, however you want to put that, but it also contains longer and shorter cycles of its own and periods of time. And these are like the times when the road changes. Okay, you're driving along and the road has different sections. You go into town and all of a sudden the street turns to cobblestones, things like that. Okay, so what we're doing is that the life path contains different images of what you'll encounter in life that bring out different aspects of your character. Okay, so it's fixed, but you can change the quality with which it's fixed. And that's one of the most important important things about numerology, astrology, tarot, and so on and so forth. It's what you do with it. Well, this is the number that you can work with. The life path is a number you can work with to enhance your personal growth or spiritual development, whatever you want to call it.
Absolutely. It seems like there's a lot contained in that life path. So can we talk about the individual numbers themselves?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Let's see. When we start with this, I think the best way to do this is rather than trying to describe everything there is to know about each number, it's probably best just to talk about some keywords about them. Okay. When we look at the individual numbers, we'll find similarities and differences between them. For instance, 1 and 8 are both similar in that they can be aggressive. Both of them are ambitious. Both of them can be obstinate when they're under stress. 2 and 6 tend to put more emphasis on cooperation than individual action. 3, 5, and 9 all have a love of movement and travel, things like that. But these are like general characteristics that these numbers form into groups in which they have maybe even identical keywords about some things. And this troubles some people when they're reading about numerology. It's like, hey, how can 5 have the same keyword as 3? You know, it's because of the similarity of the nature. The odd numbers are similar to one another. The even numbers are similar to one another. The odd numbers generally tend to be more outgoing and expressive, except for 7 sometimes. And the even numbers tend to be more patient or stubborn, like 2, 4, and 6. So these are the first things we need to know about the numbers. The fact that the groups to which they belong tend to be similar to one another. 5 tends to be a good coordinating number because it's got 4 numbers on either side to make up the whole 9. In other words, 5 is right there between 1, 2, 3, 4 and 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay. So it tends to be one that has a lot of options open, and it can go this way or that way towards the 1 or towards the 9. It's up to the 5 to make the best of this kind of flexibility and this kind of variance in its ability to do things. But at the same time, we've got numbers like 3, which is often considered to be the creative number. It doesn't mean that you have to be a 3 life path in order to be creative. The 3s will probably show up somewhere else in your chart, or you might have a number like 6 or 2, which are also creative. But I'm going to move on to the descriptions now of the different numbers. So, because I know we're limited by time, mm-hmm. but I'll talk about some of their energetic qualities and so on and so forth. So excellent. We can get an idea about some of the general characteristics of these numbers. 1 is a number that's original, it's positive, it's ambitious, it's active, self-confident, individualistic, it has leadership ability, carries leadership ability. It likes being first. That's one of the main characteristics of people that I've found that have a life path number of 1. They always want to be first. It also is when the 1 is operating in a positive mode, it has healthy self-esteem. In other words, the person feels good about themselves and doesn't mind giving credit for others when the chance arises. It's a very positive and progressive kind of vibration. Now, when 1 is operating in the negative mode, meaning that it's under stress or the person has some bad habits of body, speech, and mind that they picked up as a child or because of their peer group or something, 1s will become indecisive. Okay. It's also that they might become dependent on other people's resources as opposed to having the kind of independence and self-confidence that they usually have. When you find a person who's a one, who is always thinking about what other people can do for them, or trying to find a way to shift their responsibilities or duties or activities to someone else, then they're operating out of that stress-based mode of one. All the numbers have this. All the numbers have what we call uplifting characteristics, and they also have what we call stress-based characteristics. And the balance between the two is it will operate as normally, but what we want to do in our own lives is to learn to move toward these uplifting characteristics of our numbers. And that has a lot to do with one's path in life and one's individual growth. If you find one that's operating under stress, they might be too dependent on tradition, okay? They might be dependent on trends and the status quo. When you find a one who's always doing things along the lines of, well, this is the way things are, or it is what it is, and so on and so forth, then that means they're probably moving towards a passive aggressive end of the spectrum, you know, because ones should be independent and should depend on themselves. It's a really good thing for them. Okay, let's go on to two. Two tends to be the most cooperative of all the numbers. In other words, the two is the pair. That's the mom and dad, the husband and wife, the whole gamut of things that come in pairs, the right shoe and the left shoe. You know, this is a two operation, okay? They tend to be cooperative. They tend to work better with others than on their own, which is why you'll find a lot of people who have jobs like being, a personal or executive assistant in the office and so on and so forth. A lot of people with jobs like that are twos, because they don't mind following instructions. They tend to be supportive and helpful by nature, and they're also very empathic. So that means that whatever needs to be done, they can often pick that up in advance and be able to do a good job of working out the details or doing the negotiations and so on and so forth that are necessary to get things right. The two is almost always a good companion, okay? Now, at the same time, when a two is under a lot of stress, they become codependent, and they really need to put themselves first. That's the most important lesson for somebody who has a life path of two, because very often they will mistake cooperation for bending to another person's will, and that usually gets them deeper and deeper into this mode of being oversensitive and shy and clingy and having low self-esteem. So we don't want to go there with twos. When we find a two that's unfriendly or has a strong fear of being alone or something like that, then we start working with other numbers in the chart, like the challenges and so on and so forth, that can help elevate the two back up into that negotiation mode, into that security-oriented mode in which they start working things out in their best interest. Okay? So this is the way we work with two, and this is the way two works on their own. Now, three is a little bit different. I mentioned before that this is a creative number. It's also a self-expressive number. When we get to some of the other numbers within the life path that are threes, it's very often the case that they were encouraged to show off a little bit when they were kids, you know, to do their thing, to show off their performance before the school play, or to gain the approval of others by being expressive. It very often happens with young people who have a strong three influence in their numerology chart. The three also has this characteristic of their enthusiasm about things, and they are very enthusiastic and optimistic sort of characters, but their enthusiasm tends to be contagious. They walk in a room and go, "Hi, everybody," and everybody turns around, and all of a sudden the mood of the room is uplifted, okay? And the threes also tend to be friendly, and they attract a lot of people into their lives, a lot of companions. People like their company. It's probably because of their inspired qualities, or the fact that they have a good gift of gab and a lot of interests or skills to talk about. They tend to be social anyway, you know. So the three is considered to be a pleasant number, and a lot of people consider people with life path three lucky, okay? The reason for that is because their enthusiasm and their ability to keep an upbeat mood going and so on and so forth appear like traits of luck to other people. They don't think anything's going to really hurt them, you know. So, but at the same time, this can go in another direction because of this love of communication and social activity. Sometimes threes, when they're under stress, get caught up in things like jealousy and gossip and so on and so forth. They tend to be afraid of criticism when they're under stress. They end up not doing things because they feel like, well, it's not going to be good enough, or somebody's not going to appreciate it, and so on and so forth. They're easily distracted. These are the clock watchers you see in the office, or the people that in a construction job who keep stopping so that they can have a chat with one of their friends. You see, it's that sort of thing with three. It's easy for a three to get off track. That's why one of the most important characteristics for anybody who's born with a three life path is to cultivate self-discipline. It's not hard because they have a lot of interests anyway. It's easy to focus on one when they find themselves being thrown off course. There's also a kind of attention-seeking nature to the three that's operating under stress, okay? And they can even be inappropriate or have a bad sense of timing sometimes. And they're also good manipulators. So if you find a stress, a three, who's under stress, they're always going to be driving at some point or trying to find a passive-aggressive way to get you to do something for them or something like that. They can be very sneakily manipulative, but they also make good psychologists. So sometimes they're doing it for a positive reason. You just have to know what kind of three you're talking to. All right, now four we go to next. Four is commonly called the number of work in most numerology textbooks. That's because fours have persistence, organizing and management skills, tend to be trustworthy, tend to be loyal and responsible. It's an interesting thing about this because with four, being physical is important to them. In other words, they like to touch things. They know things by their physical attributes and their contact with them. It's like when people talk about people being focused on their auditory senses, sensory focus. These are like musicians and so on and so forth. The very rare ones are people like gourmets and wine tasters and stuff like that, that are focused on the sense of smell and taste. But we also have a lot of physical people, farmers and physical labor people, and also scientists and so on that have number four because they like to see things and get their hands dirty with things and so on and so forth. So this is four. This is the basic nature of four. And the four also, people with a four life path like order and structure. They like things to be set in place in such a way that they don't have to worry about them. They like certainty, you know. Now, at the same time, when a four gets under stress, they can be unjust. They can be intolerant. They can be very, very stubborn. Okay, they can procrastinate. In other words, they don't want to get something done. They just don't do it. You know, there might be something hanging in their mind that they think is more important. And despite the strong sense of duty that four usually carries, they'll just say, okay, I'm sorry. I can't deal with that right now. I have to deal with this. And fours, when they're stressed, or even sometimes the really good fours, you know, the really high-minded fours, none of them like to be micromanaged, okay? That's why a lot of fours are in their own businesses, because they don't like somebody coming in and interfering with their process, because they're very serious about getting their stuff done the way they think they should do it, okay? Sometimes if a four is really stressed out, if they're not feeling well, or if they have just faced some rejection or something from some kind of relationship they were developing, or have a hard time finding a job, they tend to be easily seduced by other people's ideas. If the ideas are simple and they think that, well, this person has the kind of energy to take me where I want to go, you know, that's one of the big dangers with a four, that they will tend to become followers if they're not being careful about sticking to doing their own thing. It's something that you see all the time. And a four will also impose their own limitations on themselves, which is good in that it can be a matter of cultivating discipline, but it also can be bad, especially in matters of prosperity, because when we start imposing limitations on ourselves, we set ourselves up for the kind of thinking like, well, I'd love to have one of those, but I can't afford it, or good gosh, I'd have to save up forever to get one of those. These are the kind of thoughts that limit our prosperity in our lives, that limit our capacity to manifest abundance. And fours are especially prone to that. So we need to work with fours along those lines when we're talking about self-improvement and developing one's capacity for manifestation. Now, fives who are born with this life path, these people experience a lot of change in their lives, okay? Very often, if you've got a person who's got a five in the as the life path number, they'll experience more things in life than most people will in their first half of life than most people will in their entire lifetimes, because they move around a lot. I find that people who have fives in the early numbers, like the first pinnacle or something like that, are parents of children in the military, or for some reason or another, travel around a lot as children, meaning changing schools and things like that. But at the same time, the fives love variety. It might be because of the frequent changes that happened when they were young that they develop it, but we'll explain that more looking at the inner numbers of the life path. But all fives with a life path of five love variety. They love travel. They're magnetic people who are flexible. You know, in other words, they're always willing to go with the flow in a positive way, or adjust themselves to whatever's happening around them, as opposed to sticking in one sort of mood or personality. They're freedom oriented. They like to keep their options open, because the worst thing for a five is to start feeling like they're limited, like they're tied down, like they can't get up and go when they want to go, or lay down and sleep when they're tired. You know, that irritates a five to no end. It's a very outgoing, entertaining, and like three, it's a charismatic number. So five, sometimes I even call it the rock star number, because of the fact that most of the five life path people that I met in my life will like to put on a show, you know, in some way or another. Even the ones who are very serious, like I know classical musicians that are fives, and they practice almost all the time, but when they get out amongst their peers or friends and so on and so forth, they're always ready and willing to entertain, either by conversation or by their actions, by performing a little bit. They're forward-thinking, optimistic, like the one and the three, curious people. You know, they like to get into things, and quick learners, a very sharp number, cutting-edge number. As a matter of fact, I have a very good friend who, in the past, she had a strong seven life path and a lot of sevens in her name numbers and so on and so forth. She's cursing herself, talking about, why did I get all these sevens? I want to be a five. And because that's where her ideals pointed. But she didn't realize that sevens can do that too. You know, it's just a matter of finding that niche in which they can dive into their sevenness. And you'll find out that a lot of comedians and so on and so forth are like that as we go further into the future. Now, fives, on the other side of the spectrum, fives, when they're under stress, can become overindulgent. They can become habitual very easily. They give little thought to other people and tend to be inconsistent. And this causes difficulty when they're forming relationships. Somebody asked me once, well, is a five automatically commitment phobic? No, that's not true, because they can be very loyal as long as they're interested in the partnership, okay? But once they start feeling trapped or limited, they want out. And stressed five also resists change, which is one of the worst characteristics, because this number five, when it's prominent and in a prominent position of the numerology chart, it shows that this person has a particular unique power, the ability to find opportunity and change. But when they're stressed, they're resisting change, and they don't find these opportunities and tend to meander around and not get things done. You see, jack of all trades, master of none. They tend to avoid making changes when they're stressed, and they also become pessimistic, or maybe they engage in risky behavior. And outside of 11, of all the life paths, five is the most manipulative. If you've got a friend or a close friend who's a five, there's always a motive behind their madness. Okay, let's just put it that way. And again, this can be good or bad, because of their insight and their ability to coordinate a lot of different factors and understand them, they also make good psychologists. All right. Now the six, when we go there, we're going into, in India, they call the number six the universal friend, because they associate it with the planet Venus, which is the friendliest of all of them. And the sixes tend to be people who are achievement-oriented and who love taking on responsibilities. As a matter of fact, when they're not at their best, they'll take on other people's responsibilities, thinking that, oh, it's cool, it's fair exchange, you know, I'll do this for you, and in the future, when I call on you, you just return the favor, and people say, okay, and walk away snickering, because they know for sure that they're not going to return the favor, you know what I mean? These are people who get themselves in trouble, because they're so dutiful, and so responsible, and always want to help, okay? And they tend to rise quickly in their public lives. In other words, usually they're almost always on the fast track as far as career growth is concerned. They don't mind making the kind of adjustments that are necessary to bring their life and their domestic life and their partnerships and so on and so forth into a better state. Now, the idea of making these kind of adjustments may involve, on the one hand, things like making a career move that involves relocation. On the other hand, it can mean something really simple like getting married. Sixes don't mind that because it's the most domestic of numbers, this favors the partnership. In other words, they don't like doing things that would keep them apart from other people, that would separate them from others, and so on. Now, at the same time, when Six is under stress, they start becoming like two under stress, in that they're always looking for appreciation and approval for others. They tend to have low self-esteem, and they tend to have relationship difficulties. You know, it's an interesting thing that when studying the Six in different time periods and so on, I've often had to tell people, you got to watch it when you're in the 6 month or the 6 year or something like that, because if you're having some kind of difficulty in relationships, then the 6 can become a make it and break it. It's an even number. It has two ways it can go, you know, and sometimes a lot of the life is spent on deciding which way should I take this, which answer should I give, which direction should I go, you know, that sort of thing. And sometimes, well, if a six is under stress, they tend to become a perfectionist and tend to try to shoulder too many responsibilities because they think other people can't do it right. They tend to do things like being indecisive because nothing out there is good enough for them, you know, and so on and so forth. But it's also a really casual number in general and tends to be a very helpmate-oriented number. In other words, sixes are probably the most helpful people out of the number group. And that's mostly because, like I said, they always want to see the best happen for everybody. They just need to concentrate a little bit more on concentrating on what's best for themselves. Okay. Seven is a little bit different. Seven is almost the exact opposite of six, where six is the number of the group, of the family, of the social structure, and so on and so forth. Seven is the path of the individual. Okay, they're almost all original and deep thinkers and tend to be peaceful, philosophical in their outlook on life, tend to be dreamers and logical, tend to be trustworthy, tend to take a scientific approach to things. And when I say a scientific approach, I mean that many sevens are very strongly religious. Seven is often a good advisor, almost always a good advisor, okay? But the seven is more or less, if you think in terms of the different ways that people are, the sevens are sometimes like scholars, they're sometimes comedians, but they're almost always focused on something that they're interested in outside themselves that helps them support them, that helps support them. In other words, they're interested in things that they can have faith in, that reward that faith they have in things. This is why some of them are religious, some of them are scientists, many of them are lawyers. I have a number of number seven lawyers in my files, and they're good ones too, simply because they trust in the law and they know how to get it done right, and they don't mind spending hours and hours and such doing the research. As you are doing the research, I know a lot of musicians who are sevens who spend hours and hours practicing on the piano or violin or whatever it is they do. But at the same time, sevens have some of the worst problems when it comes to being stressed, and that rather than being focused on being individualistic, they start isolating themselves and become the lone wolves, you know. So when you see the guys with black hoodies standing over in the corner in the party and not talking to anybody and blah, 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 that's usually a seven. Okay, but that's what the seven life path is like. When they start getting put upon by a society or by other people they know, they tend to become cold and have and lose faith and start becoming crafty. And this is another sign that can be very manipulative, because they have knowledge and they can use this against other people to usually get them to move away from them. They tend to be only concerned about the material aspects of life. In other words, you might find some guy who takes lunch breaks, and instead of joining the rest of the people that he's working with, he's over in the corner trying to play options on his cell phone or something like that. You know, tend to be, you know, a little bit antisocial, but definitely because of this focus on money, which is the last thing a seven should do, really. You know, they tend to be more introverted and defensive than any of the other numbers. Even the twos and fours, which tend to be a little bit introverted. Seven is the, you know, like introvert king, okay, of the numbers. Sometimes that's a good thing, actually, because it enables them to gain mental focus and clarity and think things through easily and so on and so forth. But at the same time, it's not the greatest for social life. And that's what a seven needs more than anything else. They need to find groups of people with the same interests, so that similar interests and so on and so forth. So if you find a seven who's really into flying saucers or something, they should be joining one of those clubs or groups that does the investigations and looks over the data, or because they'd be as happy as a clam for the rest of their lives. You know, it's all about the interest. Okay, eight. Now, eight, a lot of people automatically think of as a money number. That's not what eight is all about. Yes, eight can be very successful materially, but that's because of the courage, discipline, and the desire to have control over their circumstances that comes with this number eight, okay? They can be generous. You'll find a lot of philanthropists that are eights, because eight is a path of power. They tend to be dependable and have plenty of inner strength and a natural kind of authority. There's an interesting thing about eights. Probably one of the reasons people think, oh, eight is really the best number to have if you want to make money. No, that's not the case. Eights like to live large. You know, they like to live it up, live big. And their plans are big. Their ideas are big. They really like doing this. Something like the sign of the dragon and people born in the year of the dragon in Chinese astrology, except that their plans are successful. As long as they're not too overly concerned about money. okay, you'll find when eights are under a lot of stress because of their circumstances, they'll be either overly concerned about money or not care about it at all. In other words, you'll find a stressed eight either throwing money away or ignoring it or deriding the rich and so on and so forth, going off and joining the Peace Corps because they are not interested in material growth and so on and so forth. You'll find people like that under eight. Really good at their jobs. They'll keep all the positive aspects of being organized and disciplined and so on and so forth, but they might just not care about money at all. You know, so what are you going to do with the rest of your life? Oh, I'm going to run off to India and become a yogi. It's going to take a while for me to get my passport to work, but that's what I'm going to do. I could care less about money. At the same time, on the other end of the spectrum, you'll find apes who won't let the thought of money out of their heads. And those are usually the ones that don't do very well. You know, the whole idea is balance here. You see how eight is like the infinity sign turned on its side. So what it is, it's about balance, about making a balance between, you know, the lack of concern about money and the over-concern about money. But that's because that's where power lies. Power lies in being able to let these material things take care of themselves, to put them on automatic, to use your discipline in an organized way to automate these things so you don't need to spend all day thinking about it or spend all day thinking about how much you hate it. Either one will unbalance the eight and put them in a state of consistent stress. Okay, there. Another thing about eights is that once they get their goals fixed, if they are in circumstances that are very stressful for them, they're the kind of people who will achieve their goals by whatever means they can. In other words, you'll find people doing all sorts of underhanded things, being abusive or intolerant or vengeful or whatever, in order to get what they want out of life. And the last of the single numbers is nine. Now, nine's a very interesting number. You'll find numerology books that tell you that nine contains characteristics of all the other numbers. Yeah, that's kind of true, but when it's a life path number, it shows a person who has an extremely wide range of interests. These are the people who know a little bit about everything or who will sit up and watch a documentary with as much happiness as they would watching a really good fictional story. So nine's a very interesting number. It's a number of expansion, the number of personal growth and travel, and they tend to be considerate and humanitarian, but they're also very protective of the people that they love. They often say that these people, that nines make good partners and good lovers, but that's because of how strongly their urges, how strong their urges to protect their partner or their children or whatever. Consequently, nine is the number of Mars, and this is where you get your soldiery kind of attitude of soldiering on and so on. And another interesting thing about the nine life path is that no matter what comes along in life, they'll tend to bounce back quickly. You know, in other words, they seem almost invulnerable because of their ability to quickly bounce back from just about any kind of hurt or wound or whatever, you know, on the emotional level anyway. And on the other side of it, when they're under a lot of stress, they tend to get overly emotional. And you can imagine what somebody who's fiercely protective like that might be like if something happens to their partner or one of their kids, they immediately go on the warpath, okay? They also need to keep their egos in check when they're stressed, because they'll start taking everything as being personal and wanting to strike back and become vengeful and so on and so forth. But they also can be daydreamers. They can have a difficulty with letting go and little consideration for other people, like the fives and sevens, and also somewhat withdrawn as opposed to their natural state, which is extroverted. They tend to be a little bit introverted when they're pushed. Okay, they desire a lot of success, but they're often not willing to make the effort if they're under stress. But when they're not being stressed, they're always about doing the thing and doing their own thing and moving forward with glee and happiness to build some kind of utopia. You know, in other words, they want everything to be good and fun for everybody. So they're excellent coordinators or party givers and so on and so forth. So nine's a very interesting number. It's something that should not be ignored if you're looking at it in the chart. But those are some of the ideas of the keywords of the single numbers. Now, I notice that the time is getting short. Do you want to talk about the master numbers? Or do
I think those with 11 and 22 life path numbers may be very upset if we don't go into them. So let's go over those two numbers and then we can wrap it up.
Okay. Well, I want to call, want to mention that they've only been called master numbers since the 20th century. And that's because the early writers about numerology were obsessed with Indian metaphysics and brought all those ideas into the 19th century metaphysical thinking, which stuck through the 20th, you know, this whole idea about the master teachers and so on and so forth, you know, all of this got inputted into numerology when originally it wasn't there in the West. So don't start thinking just because you've got an 11 or 22 as a life path that automatically you're a master of something. Double numbers like the 22, 11, 22, 33 and on are usually have a special ability or gift, but they are a little harder to bear than the regular numbers, okay? They are tougher to work with because their energy, if you think about electricity, as we go further and further up the scale of vibration of electricity, the higher you go, the more tense, you know, the more high voltage the energy becomes. Okay, so they're harder to deal with. Like a person who has an 11 life path or something like that, it's almost impossible for them to get by with that number as a child. So it's sometimes not even until they're in their adult ages when the true abilities of that number begin to manifest. Sometimes it happens a little earlier, like in the case of Tony Robbins and people like that, where it's both the achievement and the life path and so on, or the birthday number and the life path and so on. That's a lot of 11. Yeah. And he left home when he was 17 and immediately discovered this neuro-linguistic programming and the other stuff that he does that makes him such an inspiring and powerful person. And but again, he's an extreme example. Most people find it tougher to live with. Okay, so with that, let's go through them quickly a little bit. 11 is a number that's intelligent, innovative, intuitive, idealistic, visionary. They tend to be prone to unusual experiences. If you meet someone that talks about experiencing ghosts in a haunted house or, you know, UFOs or something, they probably have a strong 11 somewhere in their chart. Okay. Let's see. You know, the young people and even some adults tend to deny the kind of visionary experiences that 11 will bring, go into denial about it, and live their lives out as number twos, simply because that's the root vibration, and it's a lot easier to take. But the thing of it is that the 11 gives so many positive and uplifting abilities that nobody, no 11 should, I don't know, maybe I've written down a million times that the worst thing an 11 can do is to deny their own uniqueness, because that really is what it's about. Let's see, in relationships though, 11s tend to be kind of picky about their friends, much less their partners. So a person who's a partner to someone who has a strong 11 really has something going for them, let me tell you. Let's see. Now, when the 11 is under a lot of stress, and a lot of people with 11 life paths are under constant stress, will tend to use their intelligence to further their own ambitions. You'll find this in people like a lot of stock market traders or things like that, that are out on the floor yelling and doing everything they can to convince clients to buy and so on and so forth. And because it has that manipulative charisma, they will often, but they also have short lifespans. You know, they find it difficult to keep that stuff up for very long. So they're about get rich quick so you don't die young, you know, and that sort of thing. This is like the 11 when they're under a lot of stress. A lot of 11s under stress have superiority complexes. They think they know and nobody else does. And they'll tend to behave their own will on others. And sometimes they behave like the two when the two is stressed, you see. But these are usually difficult things for 11 because of how high voltage the number 11 is. Some people call it the master psychic, okay? And then we have 22. Okay, highly intelligent people usually have a universal outlook and thrive when they're involved in big projects that affect the lives of other people. They're always focused on the big picture rather than the small individual incidents. You know, they're the kind of person who might be watching television and something falls down in the kitchen and, oh my God, what was that? One person says, and 22 turns around and says, I don't know, if it didn't blow up the house, I want to see what the next part of this story is on the news. You know, this is the kind of focus of a 22. And they're almost always acting like a positive four. In other words, they carry all those characteristics of discipline and persistence and so on and so forth. And they act like that because there's so much stress involved in carrying this vibration. You'll find these people often have their head in the clouds, but their feet are always on the ground. They are absolutely the best people about bringing their ideals and dreams into life in a way that a lot of people benefit from them. And that's why I often call this one the mastermind. Every time I see a James Bond movie or something like that, I always think of the bad guy in the James Bond movie, Dr. No or Goldfinger or whatever, as being a 22 who's into that aspect of living his life based on stress. You know, it's like these are people with a lack of ideals. They tend to be manipulative, coercive. In the old numerology books, they almost say that this is a sure sign of somebody who's ready and willing to delve into black magic and sorcery in order to control the lives of others. You know, that sort of thing in the old books. They tend to advance their personal agenda by any means available. Sometimes they're ruthless, unconcerned with humanity in general, and extremely self-serving. This could be the mastermind, too, in the bad sense of somebody who's a chief gangster, godfather in the mafia, or something of that nature. So, you know, being a 22 is tough, because the imagination will take you in that direction. In other words, if you're a 22, you have to be very careful to keep from falling to the dark side. Okay. The love of power is something that can seduce them away from the righteous path. Let's put it like that.
Yeah. Roy, I feel like I've just had my own personal readings there as well. That was incredible. I'm actually a Life Path 5, and listening to you talk about that, I was like, yep. So now we've been over all of the life path numbers, let's wrap it up. What final thoughts or final comments would you like to say about the life path number?
Well, first of all, I know that's a lot to absorb, but you know, time and space is limited. I could talk about 5 all day, for instance, but and I'm prone to overshare anyway. I think I mentioned before, they used to call me Mr. TMI at our astrology meetings when I'd have to talk about something. I always ran out of time. But anyway, let's see. I know that's a lot to absorb, but we're going to be going over this material and expanding on all this material over and over again in other podcasts and blog posts, ebooks, so on and so forth. So let's summarize some of the ideas in the talk. A. The life path is a single number that gives a description of the backdrop of the stage on which you are one of the players, okay? In other words, you're the actor, but your backdrop is the life path. The life path is fixed and can't become another number no matter what, but you can move in the direction of the elevated characteristics of the number, or the direction of the depressed characteristics of the number. Okay. The life path contains several elements that attract the conditions in which you live. In other words, if you're on the downside of the life path number, and you have other numbers in your chart, these numbers will tend to attract their own downsides, and hence we have a lot of problems, you know. By changing the way you work with the numbers, you change the circumstances around you. This is a fact. You don't change the numbers, you just change how you work with them. And lastly, the life path offers opportunities, but it doesn't offer the choice to capitalize on them or not. Those are the name numbers that do that. Okay.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I feel like a lot of people will have got a lot of value out of that. So thank you once again for joining us. And we'll see you again in a couple of weeks, where we'll be discussing another topic in terms of numerology. And I just want to let our community know as well, if you've got any questions for Roy, you can contact him at roy@numerologist.com, or you can just comment underneath this podcast, and we can answer your questions in another episode.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Awesome. Thanks again, Roy. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Numerologist Podcast. If you loved it, make sure you subscribe, and don't forget to check the show notes for an extra special free gift.